Hi there! If this is your first time here, welcome to the Parenthood and Relationship Podcast. I'm your host, Markella Kaplani, a psychologist, a parenthood and relationship coach, and a parent myself. Together, we explore the transformative journey of parenthood and its profound impact on our relationship with ourselves, our partners, and our children, so that we can be present and show up as we envision without having to do more. Let's get into today's episode. Hey, so welcome to episode number 2. Relationships are work, right? What a positive way to start an episode, huh? But today we are going to focus on how parenthood impacts us as a couple, so let's not beat around the bush. If relationships weren't already complicated enough, when we add a baby or two to the mix, the dynamics become even more complex. It's not a surprise, or maybe it is, who knows, that 70 to 90% of couples experience a sudden drop in relationship satisfaction after becoming parents. I will let that sink in. 70 to 90%. This is a super high number. We are talking 7 to 9 couples out of 10. And not only that, I want to narrow in on the word sudden, because we're not just talking about something that happened over a long period of time. It's something that happens drastically, almost instantaneously, as we enter parenthood. What this percentage indicates is that the majority of couples find the transition into parenthood difficult, with that resulting in immediate and significant effects on how they relate to each other as a couple. While this could be really disheartening, I'm starting today's episode with this bleak statistic for two reasons. The first being, and I'm going to be very honest here, that I want to make sure that I draw your attention to this matter, because it's a real problem for us as individuals. Growing research clearly demonstrates how if we're not happy in our relationship, it impacts us on every level of our being, including our health, so much so that our life expectancy lowers. It's also a problem for the relationship as we try to cooperate and connect and live together harmoniously as possible, right? Because all couples fight and all of us will get into disagreements with our significant others, and that's fine. But what's actually problematic is that it impacts how we show up for our children as well, regardless of how much we try to convince ourselves that we hide it well, that we never argue in front of the kids, that we make sure to separate all of this and we show up with a smile. It's simply not possible to hide deep discontent, and our children are way smarter and more intuitive than we give them credit for. If you like, I have a super short, straightforward quiz that you can take so that you can see what developmental stage you're in as a couple currently. Because relationships too go through developmental stages, and it's important to have an overview of where you are at. It's completely free to take, and you can get your results immediately, but there's an option for those of you who want it of a one-page PDF with more detailed information and some actionable steps that you can opt in for to take this a step further. You'll find the quiz at markellakaplani.com/couplesquiz. Getting back to it, though, none of this is said in an effort to make us feel bad. We are humans and we're going to go through a rough patch as a couple, and we might not always be able to show up gleaming for our children, and that is all fine. Our kids won't break if they see us unhappy from time to time. They're more likely to incur wounds when they sense that there's something wrong, but we smile through it. And our health, whether physical or mental or psychological, will not deteriorate as instantaneously as our relationship satisfaction does either. But what I do see and what I want to bring your focus on is that a lot of people just move past this in the sense of ignoring the issue, hoping that it fixes itself in time. And it won't. It won't go away if we don't acknowledge it. it will grow roots. And these roots may not be visible to the naked eye. So it will be easy to convince ourselves that Markella and all these other experts are wrong. It will be easy to remain in denial, but the roots will grow to our dismay, and it will be so much harder to weed them out afterward. Worst of all, they will have a profound impact on the entire family, because as we are coming to learn about trees, that they actually communicate through their underground root system, and while looking independent from one another on the surface, they're all actually interdependent. The roots that we allow to grow within by ignoring our dissatisfaction will also signal the rest of the network, that being our family system in this case. And it will create this ripple effect that so long as it's underground, we will have little awareness of and very limited control over. So going back to that bleak 70 to 90% dissatisfaction at the onset of parenthood, here is how we can reframe it so that we can first and foremost even bear to consider that we may be experiencing or something that we may have experienced and buried under the rug. For one, it means you're not alone. We are not alone. Parenthood affects most couples in a similar way, apparently, that it affected us. So while I'm not a proponent of misery loves company, and you may not be either, this is still comforting in that I know that we're not just two irreversibly damaged individuals in what seems to have been a dysfunctional relationship to begin with. And I say this very consciously because many couples will face a whole set of challenges as they enter parenthood, but they won't associate parenthood necessarily with these issues, mainly because there's this fear that this is equivalent to blaming the kids for marital issues or insinuating some kind of regret for having them. They will say that parenthood just highlighted already existing problems or something along those lines, which is true. But then they will go on and prescribe meaning to this, that this means that we were not right for each other from the get-go. This is false. We cannot know that. That's a very simplistic approach, which in its simplicity leads a lot of couples to give up on each other all too soon. If we were right for one another, we would have been in that 10% of couples who are unaffected by parenthood. If we weren't already problematic as a couple, we would have thrived through this. These kinds of thoughts create an all or nothing perspective, where the relationship that is strained as it enters this transformational era of parenthood is doomed to wither and die. I invite you to reframe this. This dissatisfaction is so prevalent that it validates your experience. It says that there's nothing wrong with you as individuals or as a couple. In fact, there is research that also shows that over time, couples with children do feel more bonded as they see the family they've created and how it's growing. So it's not plummet and downhill after that. We're not on a roll to rock bottom just because of that sudden dip that we talked about. This statistic does not tell us that we're doomed to fail as a partnership or marriage because we decided to have children, if that's what you took from it. What it does tell us is that there are specific areas that need work, that need our attention, that need us to prioritize them in the chaos of everyday life as parents. You know, as I started to outline what I will talk about in this podcast, I did some research, naturally, to make sure that I would not bring any wrong statistics here. And I noticed something very interesting. A study in 1995 that looked into marital satisfaction after children found that 20 to 59% of couples experienced this plummeting of their contentment in marriage. Then came a 2002 study by Gottman and their colleagues that found this statistic to be at 70%. And then came the study from University of Denver in 2009 that reported a whopping 90%. I do not think this increase is coincidental, do you? And does that mean that practically no couple is healthy around us and that we just get to realize it after kids come along? Is it this responsibility that we can't handle and suddenly everything comes to the surface? No. How I interpret this is that our pace of life keeps growing faster and faster so that we've lost touch with ourselves and our ability to relate to one another on a deeper level. And this is something that we can get away with when it's just you and me. We work 12 hours and then after that we go to the gym or for a coffee with friends or this gala that we happened to be invited to. And then we meet back home for dinner and hit the bed only to do that again tomorrow. I was seeing this couple who was seemingly doing great before having their firstborn. But then you peel off the layers, asking something as simple as, okay, how did you guys handle fighting before you became parents? And then it's like, oh, yeah, okay, you're right. We did argue before having our son, but it did not register much because he would go off to be with his friends, and then I would go and do my thing. And so after we regrouped, everything was okay. There are several things to point out here based on what she shared with me. For one, they had a way to regulate. Sure, it was an avoidant coping mechanism, and that's not healthy or sustainable long term, but at least they regulated their nervous systems after their fight by going off and talking with friends or running it off or putting the energy into a hobby. When arguing now, it's not as easy to quote unquote escape. They have to face one another. And so two issues arise. One is that they never learned to face each other and argue well, because there is such a thing as arguing well. And two, now they don't know how to regulate because they only learn to do it away from one another, which means that they have to stay activated and angry for way longer now that they have to stay home. They do not get to vent. So the pent-up energy tries to come out with yelling at one another or even by internalizing the negativity, which then comes out as very heavy thoughts about myself or you or the kids even, or by shutting down, recluding into a smaller area in the house and feeling trapped. None of that works the same way they used to regulate in the past though. In fact, some of these things may make matters worse, as is with feeling confined. What happens now as you go off to work for 12 hours and I am either home with the children all day or I also have to arrange everything for them and I'm off to work myself is that with the very little time left when we get back home, we want to be present for our kids. We have so many chores and other logistics to take care of. We are exhausted. And so just as we did before, we do not pencil in time to talk about it. We continue to automatically adhere to our avoidant communication style. So yeah, this was an issue before we had kids, but we do not get to vent the way we did before so that it all festers and discontentment grows. That is the difference. So what needs to change is our automation. This tendency to retreat back to a coping mechanism that for a while made sense, that I would argue probably goes back to each of us individually and our attachment styles. We need to peel off the layers so that we can slowly but steadily learn to spot and stop the tendency to avoid, and actually get down to discussing our needs. None of what I just said is easy to do. You're likely thinking, yeah, but if we sit down to talk about it, we will just yell. And I do not want any yelling while the kids are around. And even when they're not around, you know what? I'm so tired. This is not worth it. I hear you. And you can table in the conversation for later in the day when the kids are in bed and you may have that half hour before one of them already does their first toss and turn and looks for you, instead of succumbing to the admittedly very valid need to just relax and forget about it for now because you've had a full day already and who needs an argument now? It will come up when it comes up. That kind of thinking, though very normal, not just due to the exhaustion that leads us to preserve energy, but also due to the sheer way we've been raised, is what truly gets us into trouble in our relationships more than any disagreement or argument ever does. And so going back to that argument that a lot of couples make, that we were damaged from before kids, that we weren't compatible anyway, because now, Markella, you're saying it yourself. Do you see? We already had communication issues before the children, and so we are doomed, aren't we? No, you're not. Because this is not an issue of incompatibility. This is actually an issue of compatibility because you guys got together because, exactly because, your attachment styles and your communication styles matched. Because you could regulate in that way and you were in sync with one another is how you got to stay together and decide to commit to having children and to be with one another long term. And legitimately, there may be a fear there that if we fix this part of the communication, if I do my part and I take care of my fears of rejection or my fears of abandonment, and then you do your part, and then we get together, how do we know that we are actually compatible on anything else? Are there other ways that we can relate? I'm pretty sure there are, but before we talk practical, it's important to recognize that this fear may actually be holding us back from ever even thinking about resolving the communication issues. We want change. We don't want to argue. We want to save our relationship. But at the same time, we could be sabotaging it because resolving certain issues that have always been there also means that we may have to look at other things that may be even more scary, that may be even more of a deal breaker. I could talk about this forever, and there are so many things that we brought up today that we could analyze in so much depth, but I will leave you with this for now. Consider this. How often is it that you allow your busy life and daily routines to dictate the depth and quality of your connection with your loved ones? It's easy to blame external circumstances and the extra responsibilities of parenthood for the strains in our relationships, but often these stresses only highlight the underlying issues that were already present. Not because we are a problematic couple that is doomed to fail, but because we are humans coming into this relationship with our own set of likes, dislikes, fears, coping mechanisms, thought patterns, etc., which will then affect how we will interact and connect during the good and the not so good times. So reflect on this. What patterns from before parenthood might be influencing your current relationship dynamics? In that journal I encouraged you to get back in episode 1, if you're planning to stick around, you might want to separate it in 3 sections so that one is for individual work, the other one focuses on the relationship, and the other on parenting and our children. For today, if you want to take this a step further, jot down your thoughts about your interactions and feelings and any conflicts that arise between you and your partner in the days to come. Make a note of what triggered the conflict, how both of you may have responded to that, and how it was resolved or not. This will help you start recognizing patterns and, even more importantly, areas where you might need to change your approach to communication, but also what you need from your partner that you may not have so elaborately considered before. You know, a lot of times we do not like something, it ticks us off, but we do not know what we want instead either. Have you ever felt that? I dislike one thing that you do, but I can't actually pinpoint why it is that I dislike it. And I definitely cannot tell you what it is that I want you to do instead. So this exercise kind of puts us in a place where we build more self-awareness first and foremost, so that when we do try to communicate better, I can at least express my own needs to you in a clearer manner. For something a little bit more fun, I'm going to invite you again to take that quiz that I shared with you before at markellakaplani.com/couplesquiz and figure out what developmental stage your relationship is at. This will show you how you relate to one another. And of course, just as in developmental stages of children, we have times where we dip back into previous developmental stages. We call it regression in children. The same thing happens in couples. There may be times that we may have been in a different developmental stage. Maybe now we are in another one. But none of the results are negative in nature. What you do get is a way to understand what is happening and actionable steps of how you can progress to the next level, even if you are at a developmental stage that may be deemed as quite functional and healthy. If you decide to do it, I encourage you to take it together, discuss your answers, and use the results that come out of these answers as a starting point for deeper conversations. As you reflect on today's episode and perhaps explore this quiz with your partner, consider how you might start breaking down those barriers that have crept up over time, how you can turn toward each other even when it's tough, and rebuild the connections that brought you together in the first place. How can you argue better? Because it's also really important that we set realistic expectations based on where we are in our relationship. Make sure that your expectation is not, I want us to be the couple that never argues, because A, that's not realistic for any couple, and B, that may be a huge leap from where you are at this point. And so every time there's some kind of disagreement, you may be inclined to feel completely disencouraged that there's ever going to be a change. I'll leave you with this and with a promise that in next episodes, we're going to be going even deeper. We're going to be discussing how women think and how our brains work and how men think and how their brains work and how sometimes the way that we're wired is so different that it clashes, so that if we start to understand the inner workings of our partner a little bit better, we can tweak the way that we talk to one another so that we can get our message across. So if you want to never miss an episode, you can subscribe to the podcast and get on my newsletter as well, where I do announce when episodes come out. And if you found this episode helpful and you want to express your gratitude, what better way than to go on Apple Podcasts and leave me a review? It will help more than you know, so that we can spread the message and we can strengthen couples in their parenthood journey one step at a time. Thank you for joining me today. I hope this episode has inspired you to look at your relationship through a new, more hopeful lens. Remember that we're all in this together, navigating the challenges and celebrating the victories of parenthood and partnership. See you in the next episode.